Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today are Dr. Jane Evans and Roberto Perez-Diaz. Dr. Evans is professor in languages and linguistics here on campus, and Roberto Perez-Diaz is a federally certified court interpreter. And we're here to talk about a book project that they launched together, and it's called Carta a Juárez y sus Amigos. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about this book, Carta a Juárez y sus Amigos. What's this book about for people who may not be familiar with this particular book written by Félix Piat?
Well, Félix Piat was a French revolutionary and contemporary of Karl Marx, and during a period in France where there was a lot of political turmoil, and he was a prolific writer as well. He was a lawyer. He wrote many things that you could find on Wikipedia and other places, but this particular letter is not listed anywhere. It was virtually unknown. It was a letter that he personally wrote in French to Benito Juarez the summer of 1865, when Benito Juarez was backed up, really, here in what is now Ciudad Juarez, named after him. It's a letter of solidarity with people who love democracy, who will fight for democracy. And he begins by saying that the enemy of the Mexican people now are the same enemy of the French people who love democracy, because Napoleon had overthrown the Second Republic and he had installed the Second Empire. In other words, he did away with democracy and imposed a military empire.
And it's interesting that you mentioned the summer of 1865, because that's just months after the assassination of President Lincoln.
Exactly. And although it's not mentioned in the letter, Juarez was very aware that he didn't have really a lot of political friends in the United States, but his biggest ally, of course, the most important one, was President Lincoln. So when he was assassinated, he thought, well, if they can get to Lincoln, they can get to me.
And joining us as well, as I said, is Dr. Jane Evans. And Jane, tell us about your involvement in the project, because, well, first of all, I guess we should let people be aware that this book is in French, Spanish, and English.
So that is correct. That. And initially, the book, of course, was in French, as Roberto mentioned, and it was sent from French statesmen to Benito Juarez, and then it was also printed a year later in Spanish. And there was an English translation after that, but the English translation has been lost. And so when Roberto approached me and said that he and Professor Victor Orozco from the Autonomous University in Ciudad Juarez were thinking about updating a first edition of this letter, would I be interested in going in on a trilingual version of the book? And I wholeheartedly said yes, because my role was going to be to translate the letter from the original French into English. And I thought that it was very important to get the translation of the letter in English out once again, since the original English translation had been lost. We did extensive research trying to locate that English translation. And even though there were a few people who said that they had come across references to it, it really was no longer available. And so I thought it was a very exciting project, and I jumped on board to work with both Dr. Orozco and with Roberto Perez-Diaz.
And what prompted Dr. Orozco to do this and launch this project, and then, of course, asking you all?
Well, it's due to our great library that we have here at UTEP, because Claudia Rivers had somewhere along the line had picked up this original printed version in Spanish of the few that Benito Juarez had printed up. And one day when Victor was, Professor Orozco was over here doing research, she decided to show it to him. And he said it was like finding a diamond, that this unknown document was there. And he was fascinated, copied it, and then he printed this first edition back in 2001, just the Spanish version, with edited with a lot of historical notes. We decided to translate it because, as when I was living in Canada, Dr. Coronado and I lived in Canada for 3 years. We met in Quebec, so we had a lot of French friends who were also scholars, and I was intrigued that they were unaware of this letter at all, really unaware even many of the invasion of France into Mexico. And then we went to Mexico City, and I talked with the director of French financial mission in Mexico City. And she said, thinks that it would be interesting to show that to the then French ambassador to Mexico. And maybe some ceremony could be organized to commemorate the fight for democracy from the French point of view and the Mexican point of view. And she asked me, is it available in French? And I said, no, we just have the original letter, the handwritten copies of the handwritten letter. And she said, oh, that's too bad because, you know, he would prefer to see it in French. A few months later, we were back in Ciudad Juarez, and I talked to Victor about doing a bilingual edition, just Spanish and English, that it should be at least in English. And I started thinking about it. Maybe we could do a trilingual edition. We thought we would find that English translation someplace. It would be a contemporary translation with the contemporary language. 150 years have gone by. Language changes a lot. And so Victor all of a sudden said, Roberto, you're going to be the editor, and you're going to write the prologue. And one of the reasons that I jumped in at that was that Victor has such stature at Autonomous University of Ciudad Juarez that if he wants something printed, it gets printed. So I knew we would end up with a product like the book that we have before us here.
The title of the book is Carta a Juarez y sus Amigos, basically a letter to Juarez and his friends. Some of our listeners may, I guess, have the impression that it's basically just a letter. Tell us exactly what Félix Payat wanted to say, and is it written in contemporary French, or is it written the way Félix wrote it?
The letter dates from 1865, so one of my jobs as a translator was to go back and look at English dictionaries from that time period because I didn't want to create any anachronisms in my translation from the French into the English. What's also interesting about the original French is that Félix Payat was a great statesman, and he was, as Roberto pointed out so well, a believer in the democratic form of government. And one of his contemporaries was Victor Hugo, and as a matter of fact, they were both exiled at the same time because they were not in favor of the empire under Napoleon's nephew, Louis Napoleon, and so they were exiled in England. What's very interesting about the letter is that it shows us how intertwined so many of different dimensions for us Americans, how they were. Arts overlapped with politics, which overlapped with other written forms of information. And the letter has lots and lots of literary references to French literature from the 16th and 17th centuries. It's really a very dense document. You asked me if it was just a letter. I would say no. I would say that besides being a letter, it is also almost a treatise on the democratic form of government.
Almost, yes.
And it's also an appeal to Benito Juarez and to the Mexican people. Early on in the letter, Félix Payat says that the Mexican and the French peoples are Latin peoples and that they are very much alike in that way. And then, of course, he goes on to say that both Benito Juarez and his people are lovers of democracy and of the republican form of government, just as the French people are. So in the letter from Félix Payat, you get the idea that there were a lot of French people who were not in favor of France's imperial orientation in the 1860s. And as I mentioned, Félix Payat was in exile. Victor Hugo was in exile, basically, for speaking out against the imperial France of the time. So it's much more than just a letter. It's not a casual letter in any way, shape, or form. It's really a letter that has a great deal of substance to it. What's interesting to note is that this letter rather underlines the relationship, the positive relationship between France and Mexico that has been in existence for centuries now. Even though Félix Payat does not get a lot of attention as being an outstanding figure associated with French politics, as Victor Hugo does, he was very much probably as important as Victor Hugo.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jane, because I think, and I could be wrong, a lot of people, especially in this day and age, a lot of, unfortunately, some people claim that our millennials are not really following history, don't even know about the Civil War, Revolutionary War, World War II. And some people about Mexican history, perhaps all they know is about the Mexican Revolution and very little about Maximilian.
Exactly. Maximilian and Charlotte, they were Belgian, and they were basically drafted by France, hired by France to go into Mexico and to depose the Mexican government under Benito Juarez and to basically get things set up as if there were to be a French colony of Mexico. which did not come about.
Is that why the letter was sent initially? Because of Maximilian and Carlota and France's intention to do that? Or was this much later?
Well, the letter was sent because Félix Piat was against that imperial orientation of the French government of the 1860s.
One of the reviews that I read from the Latino Literary Online magazine about this book, it says, this attributes this to you, Roberto, it says that the letter to Juarez connects three major players in what may be characterized, in your quote is saying, as the first world war in modern history.
That's true. This is something that Victor Orozco, Professor Orozco, pointed out, that this really involves France as the major power in Europe at the time, was having bellicose, warlike politics with all of its neighbors, and it was expanding. And then it included at that point the United States as an emerging power because the United States has already declared the Monroe Doctrine. France gambled that the United States, which was in the middle of a civil war, would not be able to intervene. And therefore, by the time the civil war was over, it would be a fait accompli. It would be over because the Mexican monarchy would be established, and supposedly it was established on the basis of a plebiscite. So it included the Western Hemisphere, the United States, Mexico, and many European powers, as Jane just said, that they were Belgium. So this was the internecine relationship of the royal courts of Europe. We're all directly involved Pope Pius IX, because he gave them a guarantee that they would support him, because one of the other aspects, one of the other justifications was that France's intervention, besides in bringing culture, would be to keep Mexico Catholic, as opposed to if the United States took over Mexico, it would become Protestant, because the United States was a Protestant country.
As we're wrapping up the interview, if you wouldn't mind giving us perhaps a webpage or another place that they could go to find additional information about this book and some of the other historical facts that you've been telling us about. Should they go to Amazon.com?
I don't know if it has been reviewed for Amazon yet, because the book, as far as we know in terms of availability, is available directly on the webpage of the UACJ. And if you can get it shipped to you in Mexico it's only 250 pesos. It includes mailing. So you could go on the webpage of the Autonomous University of Ciudad Juarez. There you'll find a book and get it pay on, you know, like you would with PayPal. I'm not sure PayPal, but with your card, and get it shipped to an address in Mexico. Here in Juarez and go over and pick it up. But here, yet, I don't know if there's any distribution of the physical book yet in the United States.
I've been talking with the manager at the UTEP bookstore about getting a table set up so that we would have some of the books available locally on campus, people who would be interested in purchasing it. And I, of course, have some in my office on campus. So you can always contact Dr. Jane Evans in Liberal Arts 126.
Well, thank you both very much for the brief history lesson and for sharing with us a little bit more about Carta a Juárez y sus Amigos by Félix Piat. And it's Victor Orozco. Dr. Orozco writes the introduction, chronology and notes, and Roberto Perez Diaz, prologue. Jane Evans is the translator to English, and it's in English, French, and Spanish. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Much.
We've been visiting with Dr. Jane Evans from Languages and Linguistics here on campus and Roberto Perez Diaz, who is a federally certified court interpreter. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.